When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast, sportsethos.com presentation. As always, I am Lyle Swithenbank. You can follow the show at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank is me on Twitter. You can find the show, I don't know, everywhere that you can get your podcast, Apple, Google, wherever your heart so desires. Now, the off-season continues. And we've been having a number of guests throughout the journey, and that does not stop. So I am joined, with that being said, I am joined by the fantastic Stephen Perona from Mammoth Customs. How are you going, mate? Thanks for jumping on.
Good, man. How's the off-season treating you?
I'll tell you what, I've got a bit more free time. It has really opened up. Besides being watching the Pels, every single game I watch, well, usually watch one at least once, and then sometimes a second time through, depending on what's on TV and in my schedule. But it's like being on holidays. I might as well be over with the Pels.
My wife is joking that it's like now suddenly have free time, and not all of our evenings are Pels related things. So it's like suddenly a whole vacation opened up.
Exactly right. I mean, it won't be long, and we'll have the draft lottery, and then we'll be into summer league, and we'll be flying again. Right. We'll be back before we know it.
I honestly can't wait, though. After how the season ended, I can't wait for it to come back.
Exactly right. I thought we'd jump straight into chatting about the Pels. I mean, what a season.
Right.
Start in the doldrums, 1-12, that 3-16. We've heard it over and over and over, but to then resurge into the probably about midway through December and make the play-in. What were your high-level takeaways of this season? Bit of a roller coaster, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just the high level, like the growth, I mean, across the board. I mean, everyone knows Ingram, obviously, the massive growth that he's had. But even just like the way the rookies showed up and showed out. And I mean, none of that was expected this season. And like it started in the, like you said, just in the pits of 1-12. And it's like we've had so many seasons that have started like that of like, you know, 1-10, 1-10, like barely getting off the ground. And it was always like, you know, Drew takes a while to get going or someone takes a while to get going. And then it just, they finally hit it, but it's always too late. And so like this year, it was like they finally had that, but they overcame it and stuck with it a lot better and just the growth across the board. And I mean, they could have easily just laid down when the Zion news came out and it wasn't looking good for him, but it's like everyone actually stepped up. So yeah, I mean, across the board, just the growth of the team as a whole. And then the growth is of Willie as a coach too throughout the year was huge.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. It really was. Well, almost exponential growth. You know, we started out playing Herb Jones in the starting lineup and, you know, second round rookie, and all of a sudden becomes a revelation, all defensive team, we're advocating for it, hopefully nominee and recipient. We'll see what happens. But the rookies have just been huge. Rookie head coach, rookie, two-way rookie in Jose Alvarado, Trey Murphy as well, showing some real signs down the stretch, basically carrying us in some of the carrying the bench offensively in some of the late game, play-in and playoff games. Yeah. A lot of changeover as well. I mean, an adjustment, I suppose, with Brandon Ingram taking on that, well, really stepping up as that superstar role. What did you think of Brandon Ingram this year? I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was really, I mean, he obviously made, you know, the jump of kind of being that closer and the guy at the end of the game. But I mean, I think bigger than that is just like defensively. Like everyone has mentioned before that how long and lanky he is and stuff like that. And like in years past, he was doing so much on like trying to focus on his offensive thing that the defense sort of lagged. And I thought this year that was the bigger growth. I mean, along with the leadership stuff, but like his defense was just miles above what I expected it to be this year.
Yeah, it really did take a step, I thought, on the defensive end. And I think perhaps that was, they said he was getting in the gym a bit more and strengthening up, whereas, you know, he was a bit of a beanstalk before, pretty thin and lanky, whereas you could see him noticeably a bit bigger across the shoulders and the like, which definitely helped him, I think. The big question mark, I suppose, was the missing piece in Zion Williamson. And, you know, there's been a lot said, the narrative just... I mean, that was a roller coaster in itself. It was,
yeah.
We hate everyone. Now we love him. Now he's overweight. Now he's injured again. He hates the team. I mean, I couldn't keep up. What did you think of all of that?
I mean, that's that sort of thing of just like, if you don't speak to it, people are going to fill in their story for themselves. And I think that's a lot of what happened is, I mean, his camp wasn't saying much. He himself never says anything. I mean, so anything that even did come out, it was like second or third hand from his camp. And so everyone then, you know, proceeds to read between the lines because they need to talk about something and they need to have it be something. And so, yeah, I mean, I think just, I mean, there's things on both sides I think could have been handled better in terms of just transparency, both from the organization and Griff and what his real timeline was. And then Zion could have just easily come out and said a few things. It probably would have quieted things. But I mean, I think it's one of those things that's like they're kind of learning to grow together as well. And Zion's obviously still young. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it was read into just for the fact that no one was saying anything. So a lot of narrative got filled in the gaps because that's what they do when you don't speak on it. So.
Well, that's what we found. I mean, even his, you know, when he put out the memo, I suppose, letting everyone know he was off to Portland, and people are going, well, we couldn't even get on the camera and tell us, you know, he had to send us a fax, letting us all know that he was off. And I mean, I look back over some of the tweets and storylines and the like from back then, and gosh, we were in all sorts of pain. I don't know, as a Bills fan, we were all just ticking along. And to think now, I mean, to see the trade deadline acquisitions of CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, even Tony Snell, you know, they bring that leadership, playoff experience. How'd you find that trade? It was a big one at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's big. And like, so like I'm up in Portland. And so like, I've seen a lot of CJ and Dame and stuff specifically. And it's just like when CJ even started to be mentioned as like a possibility, I was like, absolutely perfect. If it can happen, because he would just fit what the Pelicans needed so badly, both in terms of like on the court and sort of that missing guard role and some of the leadership and experience, and just also the off the court of bringing the team together and things like that and stuff. So, I mean, that was huge. Larry Nance, I did not expect, and he came on sort of late in our season, obviously, but his work in the play-in and into the playoffs and stuff like that surprised me, because like I've seen little bits of him, but not a ton, because he wasn't up here super long. But yeah, I mean, CJ was just sort of the perfect get. And I actually didn't think it was going to happen, just because our history is like, you know, pessimist. So I was blown out of the water sort of when it happened. But yeah, I think it was just the perfect fit. And all the people were worried about, you know, his contract, his age or whatever. And I feel like you're missing all the other stuff that he brings. That's not just, you know, on the court, athletic ability or whatever. Like there's so much he brings to that locker room and to the team in terms of experience and stuff that I think is going to pay huge dividends, especially once Zion gets back in the rotation. And I mean, the team is still going to be fairly young next year, and it's going to need sort of that guiding experience and expertise. So yeah, I think it's going to work out long-term really good.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, on his contract, I saw the naysayers saying, oh, you know, he's 30 years old. And I mean, I'm 30 years old, so I'm struggling. You know, good to know that, yeah, that I'm over the hill. And
you look at like CP3 though, and like the people are talking about, he's 37 and look what he's doing. I mean, it's like you can make a generalization of what a 30-year-old guard is, but then it's like it's all somewhat context and circumstance and how he takes care of himself. So, I mean, I think Chris Paul being almost 37 and doing what he's doing is a prime example that you can't just say he's 30, he's washed. So
exactly right. And you know, we offered them, well, Chris Paul, a couple of year deal, 3 year deal, I think in free agency, he turned it down, went back to the Suns. I think that was worth more than what per year than what CJ's was. Same as to Kyle Lowry. And I mean, Kyle Lowry struggled to stay healthy all year down at the Heat. So, yeah. I mean, to get a guy that has been fairly healthy throughout his career, bar the first earlier couple of years, you know, I think it's going to pay dividends, particularly for these young guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, to appear in this playoffs, play-in playoffs, huge. I mean, that just looked like so much fun. I was jealous to not be in New Orleans while that was going on. How did you?
Yeah, I was looking at what tickets would be, and it's like it landed on like. So I was like, I really want to be down there too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it looked like awesome fun, and to get the crowds, you know, the massive 18,000 people odd in each of the games, and to see these cult hero emerge, Jose Alvarado. I mean, he's doing the media tour at the moment. You can see him on NBA, Inside the NBA, and he was on JJ Redick's podcast. I mean, geez, not a bad ride for him as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I haven't listened to JJ's podcast yet, but I saw him on NBA TV. But yeah, I mean, that's just like the sort of perfect storybook story, right? And I feel like when they did the two-way contracts and stuff, that's like sort of the story that they envisioned, like this potential storybook entering the NBA on this two-way, you know, fighting it out, G League time, and somehow landing yourself a real deal. And I feel like he's sort of the embodiment of what that hope was with the two-way contracts. And I mean, it's really nice to see. I mean, he's super humble about it. He's super appreciative of New Orleans and the love they've given him. So it's like, you can't help but root for him. And then the fact that he just plays insanely hard is a joy to watch. And I mean, with everything else that was going the way it was, you know, throughout the season and stuff and everything kind of picking up, it was just another thing of just like, I don't know how you can't love this team. It's like, you know, you got Herb that was breaking out and, you know, Trey finally getting his minutes and then Jose. And it's like, they all work hard. You can't not be entertained with this.
Yeah, and it seems to their work ethic seems to have resonated all the way through the roster. Everyone seems to be wanting to get back to work, and all the stories around the team is that they can't wait to catch up in the off season and continue to work together. And I mean, there's all the videos and stuff of Zion Williamson now at Duke working out, trying to get his body right for this season, and he's looking really good as well. Overall, I'm really excited for this season. What do you predict for the coming season?
Oh man,
put you on the spot with that one.
Yeah, I'm dangerous. Like, hopefully optimistic, but it's like I feel like in years past as a Pelicans fan, it's like every moment of optimism has crashed back down. But no, I mean, if you go off of what we've had in this last season, and then you add Zion to that, I don't know how it doesn't just get even better. I mean, offensively, they're going to be incredibly tough to stop. I mean, barring injuries like that, I don't know how you contain that team really. So yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely going to be in that upper half of the Western Conference for sure. I don't see any reason why they don't, unless we have our awful, awful injury luck. And I'm hopefully not cursing that right now, so please no one come back and
touch wood, all that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm expecting obviously back in playoffs this time, not having to go through the play-in in that upper half, and you know, home court advantage in that for sure.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. And I think watching the playoffs at the moment, there's a few teams there that are barely holding on by a thread. So hopefully we can jump over a few of them and lock in that home court, or at least dodge the play-in next year. I think that has to be the goal.
Yeah.
Changing speed a little bit, sneakers. I mean, yeah, we've seen your designs. If you haven't, go and check them out. It's mammoth-customs.com, am I correct?
Yeah.
The website.
Or Mammoth Named Jim on Instagram and Twitter.
So if you're not checking them out, go and do it now. Pause this, come back, because the designs are fantastic. What inspired you to get into shoes? Have you always been designing sneakers?
Yeah, I mean, so I've always been into sneakers since I was little and stuff. I mean, sort of that cross-section of basketball and sneakers kind of just always go hand in hand. And so I've always been into sneakers. And then like 5-6 years ago or so, I stumbled upon Angelus, who happens to be one of the main people who make paints for customizing shoes. And they had like a whole stable of sponsored artists and stuff like that. So I just fell down this rabbit hole of like looking through all their work and stuff. And then I was getting ready to head to PAX, which is like the Penny Arcade Expo. I don't know if you've been, they have one down in Australia now. So, but it's like a big pop culture gaming expo thing. And so I was like, a lot of people do cosplay and things like that. I was like, I'll just do something more subtle and do a pair of shoes for it to have at the thing. And so I did it around Cuphead, which was a game that was coming out for Microsoft, which is in a very like 1930s sort of rubber hose animation style. And so I did them up. Microsoft ended up seeing them. The development studio ended up seeing them. And so it became a big thing and connected with them to actually do a pair for their launch for the game and their launch party. And then it turned into this whole thing of pairing up with Reach Out Worldwide, which was Paul Walker's disaster relief charity and stuff that he started before he passed away. And his brother runs it now, but we ended up doing like a big, they do like an all-day gaming marathon where they raise money for disaster relief and stuff. And so ended up doing the pair of shoes to go through their charity to be auctioned off. And so it was like this moment of, man, sneakers can be something so much bigger than just like an article of clothing or whatever. Like they can actually reach something much bigger. And so seeing like kind of just something so basic and like the ability to reach something and raise money and things like that and a charity around it and stuff like that, I was like, I want to go deeper into this. And so kept painting customs for a while for, you know, another 3 or 4 years, did a few more charity things around like Equal Justice Initiative and stuff, and did a pair of Dame 4s that really kind of blew up for Lillard that were around a Black Panther theme, and they ended up getting a lot of eyes on it on ESPN and things like that, and so they kind of exploded from there. And I was like, okay, this is even reaching further and further and stuff. And so I kind of wanted to keep going with it from there, and eventually transitioned over from the painting into full recon decon bespokes, which is tearing down a whole shoe, rebuilding it out of leathers and stuff like that. And just kind of opened up a whole new realm of possibilities from there.
So with that and going into the, I suppose, the bespoke shoes, so you completely deconstruct it. And then how do you build the designs and what inspires them?
Yeah, I mean, we totally tear it down. The only thing we buy a donor, like a Nike or Jordan or whatever. And the only thing we keep off of it is the base sole, the outsole part of it. And then everything else above that essentially gets rebuilt. So, I mean, the designs come from a lot of different places. So sometimes like the Pelican stuff with this most recent pair was really inspired by like kind of how the narrative had gone all season. You know, I mean, the stuff in the bottom of the shoe is, you know, all of the sort of the naysayers of Zion wants out, the team needs to move, the arena's empty, everything that we constantly hear all the time. And so it was just a way to sort of stomp on that narrative and like quite literally stomp on it because it's on the bottoms. And so, and then just the rest of the shoe is, you know, inspired by the team, the city, like the ironwork kind of inspires the swooshes. They're all really ornate and stuff. And then just the colors. And then around the collar, it was like all the sort of the good shout outs from the year, you know, AD and Joel's sort of little, you know, back and forth, the, you know, Jose's nickname, Trey's nickname, like all those sorts of things that were kind of the, you know, the supportive, positive idea of it and kind of wrapping that in the collar. And then the sort of change the narrative thing that AD kept, you know, preaching all year and stuff. So a lot of that inspired that pair. I mean, other pairs over the years, like I did another Pelicans pair a couple of years ago that were sort of right when we landed Zion, and they were kind of that Let's Dance moniker that he did. And so I did, you know, custom heel tabs for that and themed around that. But other times, so like in our Discord group, we do sort of, every 2 months we do sort of a challenge theme. Some of them, you know, like are simple, like a Halloween theme. And so I've done a pair of really intricate, like ornate mummy ones, or we did a holiday one and I put a snow globe in the swooshes that actually swooshes around and stuff. But then other ones, like we just finished a challenge that was a sort of a charity challenge of a couple that had gone through a bunch of miscarriages and he had sold off his sneaker collection to help them get the doctor's procedures that they need to be able to start a family. And so we as a community group came together and did a challenge to sort of restock his sneaker thing. And so we all built custom sneakers that were sort of inspired by their story and their sort of struggle through this, and eventually gifted them to him as a surprise. So the inspiration is kind of all over the place. to just sort of whatever the topic is or whatever the focus is.
That's awesome. And to see, like you said, you know, to see sneakers be more than just an item of clothing or, you know, like an accessory. There's people dress them up to make them, you know, part of charity or people's story and, you know, helping fundraise for medical procedures and the like. I mean, that's all credit to you guys and the community that you've built. You mentioned the Discord. So what's that about? How many members and how do you get involved in that?
Yeah, so I think we're about 700 or so members now. It started sort of, you know, a couple months or so right before and right as the pandemic was starting. And the idea around it was that a lot of the knowledge and information around how to make bespoke sneakers was really tied up and gatekept behind fairly expensive classes. So like Shoe Surgeon, I think if anyone knows the space, is probably the sort of front runner of a lot of it. And he paved the way for a lot of it and opened up a lot of doors. But then he also, you know, his classes are, I think, up to $5,000 a class now for a weekend thing. And that's, and then you still got to go home. You got to get a machine, you got to buy materials. So it creates a really high bar entry for getting into this. And there's a lot of people that, you know, can't afford that and still want to be able to explore and create sneakers and stuff. And so the group was initially formed by some people who had taken some of those classes and wanted to make the information a little more accessible. And then I joined on as a mod pretty early into it. And I've never done a class. Everything I learned was from our community and group. And so that's sort of an example of what you can get out of putting the work in and interacting with the community and stuff. And so, yeah, we're just, like I said, there's about 700 members. We're all sort of just helping each other with the process, the tools, the material sourcing. We have a couple sort of connections with some of the leather distributors, one specifically District Leather out in Atlanta and Georgia, he's a big sneaker guy too. And so he's helping us, you know, he's working with a tannery in Italy and stuff to really focus on getting shoe specific sort of materials and things. And it's just sort of a good massive community resource to help people get into this without having to pay the $5,000 for a course and then go at it on their own after that weekend. So, but yeah, I mean, it's free, it's open. Anyone can DM me and I can send them an invite if they're actually, you know, interested in getting into this or seeing some of the process and stuff.
That's awesome. And guys, if you're listening out there, we'll hit us up and we can put you in touch and get into the Discord. It'll if you're interested in customizing sneakers, I mean, some of the designs and the gallery that you've got on your website, it's just, mate, they are awesome. Honestly, they look so cool. And yeah, I'm very jealous because I am not at all crafty and would have no idea how to do anything like that.
I mean, before I got into this, like when I joined the Discord, I sort of just took the plunge and bought a sewing machine. I'd never sewn before in my life. And so, I mean, I you'd probably surprise yourself if you dove into it. I mean, it's a lot more intimidating from the outside before you get into it. And then I've seen a lot of people who think that they're not crafty or, you know, have the ability or stuff to totally blow themselves away with what they can make. So,
yeah, it's awesome. So if you had to design any shoe or like the actual, you know, what shoe would you pick as the ideal base to customize, or does it vary?
Yeah, I mean, it varies a little bit on sort of the type and intention. I personally love Jordan 4s just because I feel like they have a lot of dimension to them in terms of like the layers, some of the mesh and the different hardware and stuff that's on them. You can do a lot with them. And especially, you know, the back tab offers a lot of customization, the little like windows on the side, you can do a lot of things with it. And so those are probably my favorite Jordan silhouette to begin with. And they're one of my favorites to customize just because you can do so much with it. But also things like, you know, a Dunk or an Air Force One that are big wide open canvases. So if you're doing something that's more of like a painterly that you want something, you know, a big space to do it on, those are really good for it.
That's awesome. And are you allowed to give us an insight into what you're working on at the moment, or is it all undercover?
Yeah, no, I'm currently working through all the Change the Narrative Pelicans pairs that I sold. So I finally gave in and enough people asked for me to make them available. And so I made a select few of them available. And so I'm currently working through those. I have a bunch of tongues to stitch up after we get off of here. So that's mainly what my focus is on. I have another pair of Dunks that are I'm doing up actually for my wife that are, I don't know if you know what Lisa Frank is. It was like all the rage in like the 90s in the US for like middle school girls, and they would plaster their trapper keepers and stuff with these crazy neon dolphins and pandas and stuff. And if you look up Lisa Frank, it's a bit of a mushroom trip. Oh, really? In terms of the visuals of it. And so I have some really crazy elephant print that's like got a color shift foil on it. And so it does this, all this crazy like neon-y color shift stuff. So those are the other pair that are currently sitting over there needing soles on them. But other than that, yeah, it's mainly the Pelicans pairs for now.
That's awesome. I look forward to seeing more of your pictures and the like coming out, and just keep plugging them because we like looking at them. They are awesome. And Stephen, do you have anything else that you'd like to plug before we wrap up? I appreciate your time today. If you can let us know where we can find you and how to get involved in sneaker building, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I can be found on Mammoth Named Jim on both Twitter and Instagram. And then our Discord is Handmade Heat, and you can just DM me on either of those platforms. Both my DMs are open. So yeah, just shoot me a message and I'll get you guys an invite to it. So.
Fantastic. Guys, go and check it out. If you're interested in getting involved in that, well, you know, you've got the hot tip now. So go and check it out. Also, head over to those handles and check out all the stuff he does over there. They are awesome. Stephen, thank you so much for your time late at night. I appreciate you jumping on and having a chat.
Yeah, thanks, man, for having me. Appreciate it.
That's been good. We'll have to have you on again sometime.
Definitely.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So thanks again to Stephen for joining us. It was a fantastic chat, chatting sneakers, chatting Pelicans. Gosh, it was good fun. All things sneaker customization. If you want to check out his designs again, and you should, go and do it after this, Mammoth Named Jim on Twitter and on Instagram. His designs are cool. He's even put a video up recently of him creating different parts of the shoe. And if you're interested in sneaker customization and designs, we'll hit him up on Twitter and or Instagram, and or you can hit me up and I'll put you in touch with him and get involved in the Discord, because it sounds like a really good community. And if you're interested in that sort of stuff and you're a bit crafty and a bit artsy and like that sort of stuff, well, get in there and do it. You know, life's too short not to. So there's a bit of advice from me to you all out there. Not that anyone really cares. But anyway, quick wrap up before we go. The results of today in the playoffs. We saw the Bucks hold on to beat the Celtics 110-107 behind Bobby Portis. Big putback off a free throw, followed by two huge defensive plays on Marcus Smart by Drew Holiday. A big block and then a huge steal, securing that victory, going up 3-2. Huge win for the Bucks, and it's going to be tough for them to fight back. And after that, that was followed by the Grizzlies and Warriors. The Grizzlies, as they say, whoop that trick in their stadium, did that to the Warriors. 134-95. They're up by over 50 at times, and honestly, just absolutely put them to the sword. After they thought they were going to close it out, and after I thought they were going to close it out, they came out and laid an egg and got absolutely stomped by the Memphis Grizzlies, who have their backs against the wall, evening up to 3-2, and then back to the Bay Area for the next game. So, looking forward to seeing how these all play out. The games tomorrow is the Heat and Philly, 3-2 Miami leads, and 3-2 Suns lead over the Mavericks. So check them out as well. Playoffs is here, baby, and we're enjoying it. But anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. This is the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm Lyle Swithenbank at Ethos Pelicans at Lyle Swithenbank. Stay safe and bye for now.